Welcome to the Young and the Restless Recap. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Amanda.
And this is our 77th episode, Thanksgiving time.
Yes.
Even though they didn't actually acknowledge Thanksgiving in the
right,
show.
Right, for the show that didn't do Thanksgiving, we will do Thanksgiving for you.
I did see in the previews for next week, though, they do have Christmas trees up, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just skip to the shopping.
Yeah. So we were kind of talking about there's not a ton that's really gone... Well, I guess there's some big stuff, but not, like, as much as the last few weeks.
Well, I think the business with Sharon is huge.
It is, but it's like, I almost feel like this is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Figuring out what the hell.
Yeah. What do you want to start with? What should we talk about?
Well, so Sharon's been in Fairhaven.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought... that she knew she wasn't pregnant, but was pretending to be pregnant.
Yeah.
And now it's looking like Dr. Anderson, is that her name?
Yeah.
Has done something funky and has convinced Sharon that she's pregnant through the use of drug manipulation and body pillows.
Sure. But come on.
So now Sharon is totally on board with the fact that she...
Sharon knows deep down she wasn't pregnant. She knows. Don't you think?
I think deep down she knows, but...
But she's just playing along.
So deep down she's going along. I don't think she is playing along with it. I think that she legitimately has been brainwashed into thinking that she is pregnant.
I think that, like, really down there, she knows, but she's so in such denial that she's willing to just stick it, like, okay, well, the doctor says I'm pregnant, you know what I mean? Like, just full-on denial.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Okay.
That she's going along with what the doctor's making her do.
Dr. Anderson...
But right now, I don't think she is able to step up and just say, now, wait a minute.
Yeah, oh, no.
Let's just all agree that I'm not pregnant.
Okay. So, Dr. Anderson, what the heck is this woman's story? Where is she from? Who does she know?
She come from, who is her mother? Who is she? She's got to be related to somebody.
I guess my question is, let's talk about what Dr. Anderson did. Okay, so she brainwashed Sharon, and then meanwhile, we were all told that Sage and Nicholas's new baby Christian had died, like, while they were in the, I don't know, the Halloween explosion.
At the Halloween party / fire.
And let me just say, I am so proud of myself for cracking the case on this one, because I emailed you and was like, OMG. I was like, I don't think he's dead. I don't think he's dead. Like, I'm getting this feeling, and I think the crazy doctor stole the baby, and da-da-da, right?
I give you full credit for that, because that hadn't occurred to me at all.
Although...
And it was like, oh, yeah!
You know, like, the inkling, so, I'll fully admit, like, that Bridget, you know, who was one of our listeners and that we talked to, she's the one who, like, kind of put it in my brain at first that, like, we never saw his body, and I was like, oh my gosh, I think the doctor stole him, da-da-da, like, this whole thing. So, she clearly has stolen Christian, and then she had another kind of nurse on the side, like, the nurse was like, Dr. Anderson knows what she's doing. You're going to have a new home now. And then they give the baby to Sharon. Like, hey, by the way, you gave birth. Congratulations. And she's like, when?
Yeah.
When did that happen? They're like, oh, yeah, you were drugged out. You know, you just don't remember. I mean.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There is physical evidence.
Like, does your body feel like
you gave
birth?
I know that Sharon has a history of not remembering giving birth.
I know.
Because she doesn't remember giving birth to Mariah either.
Yeah, but at least that one, I guess, like, having never given birth myself, at least with the Mariah thing, like, she did give birth to Cassie and she remembered that. And I was like, maybe she passed out and she just doesn't remember. But, like...
Bring the second child. Yeah.
I could
bend my disbelief for that one.
But this one is like, hey, Sharon, do you feel like you gave birth at all? Anything?
Have you peed yet? Because that's a thing to have a baby. It's remembering how to pee.
See, I don't know any of this.
She's just having no after effects at all.
Anyway, so, but I mean, Dr. Anderson did sort of address a couple things, like, oh, you better not breastfeed because you've been on a lot of medications or whatever, you know? But at the same time, it's just, it's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. But whatever. So Christian did not die. Did they give the baby a name yet?
No. Sharon has not named the baby.
Okay. What do you think? What do you think she's going to name him? Christian? Christian number two.
Right. I'm going to name my baby after your baby the way we did with Faith.
I kept wondering, like, what's she going to name him?
Dilly or, you know.
Yeah.
Dylan, whatever Dylan's last name is, Junior.
Well, I mean, Connor, Chelsea's kid, is named after Dylan's dad because he thought he was the father of that one, too. Poor Dylan. I mean, really. What did he do to deserve
really?
All this?
Short end of the baby stick here, for sure.
He is clearly not meant to be a father at this point.
Right, because not only is it not Sharon's baby, it's not his baby either.
No, but then we also learned last time it's not Nicholas's baby, it's Adam's baby.
Nope. It's Adam's baby, which I think is hilarious. And now it makes
so
sense
messy.
Why Adam was able to get through to Sage to go to the memorial.
Yeah, totally.
Able to say, I'm mourning my baby too, and...
Yeah.
You know, you need to get your ass to the service.
All right. So I have always been a fan of Adam and Sharon forever. And I know that they don't ever really go there anymore. It's like, you know, Adam is with Chelsea and whatever. Do you think that this might be like a sign that somehow they come back together?
That's what I was hoping. I was hoping that.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but at this point, the whole thing is crazy to begin with, literally, so, yeah. At the same time, Sage has been having all these crazy nightmares about, I don't know, like still, Christian still being alive, and she's in a straitjacket, and so I was like, oh man, is Sage gonna end up in Fairview?
Because she's gonna see Christian... And recognize him, and say and go nuts
and be like,
"That's
my
baby.
Baby,
that's my baby!" And everyone will say, "Oh, you're just crazy. You go to Fairhaven. Here, we'll put you in Sharon's room for convenience, and Sharon will get to go home."
Like checking out with the baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
That actually is Sage's baby.
Do you remember when we were like, "Who's going to be our Christmas miracle this year?" And we were like, "Ha ha! The miracle will be that Sharon has a baby."
Yeah, see?
So, Sharon kind of did have a Christmas miracle. She didn't even have to steal
a
the baby
Christian
herself.
Miracle.
So bad.
Yeah, really, really bad, but you set it up, so.
I'm dying to know what Dr. Anderson's backstory is, because, what made me think about it was in the very beginning... I think Sage was in the hospital. Remember when she had Girardia or whatever? And, I think we saw Dr. Anderson lurking and I was like, ooh, is it like her long lost sister? You know, something along those lines.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, you know, they have some sort of connection, but now I'm wondering, was she just lurking? 'Cause she knew Sage was pregnant and she was just poaching on. Yeah, so maybe she didn't actually have any real connection to Sage. She's just looking for a baby. But I don't know. Maybe there's something there, too. But then, do you remember that really weird interaction where Sage and Nicholas, they went to the hospital. Why did they go? And they had, like, a run-in with Dr. Anderson.
Well, it was because they were there for the world's greatest grief counselor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was really over the top Hallmark kind of moment.
That was just like set back grief counseling 1,000 years because. Okay, so what they did was Sage was really sad and Nicholas was really sad and they were being sad separately and Nicholas finally said, we need to go to counseling. And during the counseling session, you know, you saw each of them explaining how upset they are about mm-hmm. everything and how their marriage is falling apart and mm-hmm. blah, 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 boring, boring, boring. And the Greek counselor, you never saw his or her face. You just saw the back of the head.
Yeah.
But within 20 minutes, they were you know, pouring out their deepest, darkest secrets and their longings and fears and everything in the whole world that in, you know, any kind of reality would take months, if not years, uh-huh. to get to. But this person got to it in 20 minutes. So now they were fine, and everything was going to be beautiful and lovely in their marriage again.
I loved that.
And they're going home, and then they run into Anderson, who makes, like, the worst possible comments.
Oh, she was terrible.
Oh, how is your dead baby? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. He's dead. I forgot.
Yes. Did you hear about Sharon's totally not dead baby that she had?
That's why I felt like she was making a dig at both of them, because then she was saying, oh, yeah, you know, I've been talking with Sharon a lot about both of you. And Sage was like, what do you mean? Sharon's talking about us? And Dr. Anderson says, yeah, she told me you had a lot of problems and that you weren't very stable. And she told me about Nicholas's family and how terrible they are and how they just want to get over everybody and steal everybody and everybody's greedy. And Nick's like, whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
She just went on that rant. It was like, okay.
He's like, this is very unprofessional.
Wrong.
And so... to me, I'm like, there's all these signals that Dr. Anderson has a really good backstory, but we don't know what it is yet. Because clearly she's not into the Newmans, that's for sure.
I've got a theory.
Oh, tell me.
Okay, so this is kind of jumping ahead on our list, uh-huh. but what if she's the judge's daughter and Victor's daughter?
Oh, man. But what would be her reasoning for helping Sharon?
Because Sharon is anti-Newman.
Is she really?
Well, she's not, but that's all I could come up with on the spur of the moment.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
You know, the Sharon is just the innocent bystander who happened to be pregnant at the right time. I mean, it doesn't matter that it's Sharon. It could have been anyone, but as long as it's a Newman baby who's being passed off as not a Newman baby, then she wins.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Because she clearly has it in for the Newmans.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, I felt like there were two pieces. Like, she's got it in for the Newmans, but then she also wants to help Sharon. But then at the same time... I'm not so much sure that she even wants to help Sharon so much as just brainwash Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon's just a pawn.
Because even after she has the baby, she's like, and Sharon's like, we have to call Dylan, you know, I have to call my family. And the doctor's like, well, yeah, I'd still really prefer if no one knew about this. Like, right. Hello, she had a baby, you know, supposedly. And Mariah drops by. Just like they've got Sharon on lockdown. I just need to go find her. And she walks in and sees Sharon through the window, like, oh my God, she's got a baby. And Dr. Anderson's like, okay, you can go in. And then they call Dylan. And even when Dylan shows up, like, everybody seems surprised. Like, nothing feels right. You know, you can just, uh-huh. you can tell. And, yeah. I guess the doctor, she was like, and you're still going to have to stay here for several more days. You know, I've got to monitor you or whatever.
Yeah.
So, it's not like Sharon just gets to go home.
No.
Yeah. I don't know.
With her miracle preemie baby that's 13 pounds.
I know.
And can sit up by itself.
I was like, couldn't you tell that baby's like a couple weeks old? I don't know.
Well, if it truly was a preemie, then sure, it would still be.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
But... that baby that they're using as the baby
is like a giant baby.
Practically. <thing. It's> That did not just come out of a woman. I'm sorry, but no.
Oh, Lord. Okay. I just have so many questions about this, but I guess I can't really speculate anymore. Like, it'll be answered as time moves on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anything else about Sharon and the baby?
No.
Okay.
Here's another nitpicky thing.
Yes.
Is that, okay, Sharon's on lockdown. No one's allowed to see her. That's policy. And yet, as soon as Mariah shows up, she's allowed in.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And then Dylan is allowed in.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait, where did the lockdown go? Why is this just, you know, being set aside for the sake of convenience?
I think...
Worst hospital ever.
I get the feeling that Dr. Anderson is constantly towing a line of, like, how much she can get away with. So,
well, and I think she's telling people stuff that's not actually true.
Yeah, exactly. So when they actually come in and they're like, we want to visit her, she's like, okay, fine, get in here, but don't tell anybody you were here. You know, like that kind of thing.
Right.
I want to say, as we're thinking about best outfits, and this is really not an outfit per se, but Nick has been walking around in a pea coat, and damn, does he look good with Nick's hair and his pea coat. And I was like, more men should wear pea coats. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I've always been a fan of the pea coat. Yeah. Ever since World War II.
But see, Devon was wearing a pea coat too, and I was like, yeah, he looks good, but Nick looks
but
really
this was
good.
Great. It's got to be the deep blue.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah. There's that. I have nothing else to say
now
other than that.
For Christmas.
Well, should we talk about Adam going to prison? Because I feel like that's been going on for a couple weeks.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Because, you know, he was going to go to prison, and then he snuck out and, you know, theoretically saved people from Newman Towers as it was going to crash, and then came back to the hospital with his new injuries, and... Right. Cricket was all over him, like, you know, he needs to go to prison now.
You still go to prison, man.
And then he was like, you know, I saved everybody from Ian Ward, you know, BTW, and then they never found Ian's body. Which I loved that they were able to do a complete salvage.
That should count for something.
Yeah, of a 50-story high-rise that, you know, collapsed
right.
in a fire.
Or Patty's.
Oh, by the way, we didn't find Ian's body. We didn't find Patty's either. You know, so now they're like, oh, Patty's alive. But they're also, at this point, like, oh, Ian must be out. Did Adam make up the story and Ian wasn't even there? Blah, 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 blah. So there's all this suspicion around Adam. So anyway, they send him to prison. So Adam, doesn't he get his ass kicked on the first day of being in prison?
Yeah, for being the rich kid's son.
And I felt like the guard was like, hey, you little sassy pants.
Right. The guard was in on it. The guard was just like, okay, I'm going to provide you with this prisoner in the shower at this time. You have 7.5 minutes until I come back. Go.
Did you feel bad for Adam?
Nah, not really.
I didn't either. I really like Adam. He's one of my favorite characters typically, but seeing him... you know, get beat up in prison, I was like, yeah, he is a pretty boy, a rich boy.
Yeah. Well, because I feel like he got beat up, uh-huh. but I don't feel like he got, you know, violated. It's not like they raped him or anything. It's just like, you know, they beat the crap out of him first day.
Bitch. I think on general
and if
hospitals...
you can't establish your cred the first day, then you deserve to get beat up. Everybody knows that.
But I think it was on General Hospital. That was a storyline not too long ago where somebody went to prison and was like sexually assaulted. And then, you know, that was like a big deal. So I was kind of thinking like, they probably won't go there with Adam, but wouldn't that be a story?
That would be a good PSA type story. Yeah. Cause it is a huge problem in America, blah, blah, blah.
But
not appropriate for this particular.
Yeah.
You know, that should have happened to Michael.
Oh my God. Totally. Oh, I would. Yeah, totally. Somebody who's actually raped somebody else in the past. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
See? They should write
Not
that
that
in.
we're advocating raping anybody.
No.
Don't get on our case, listeners.
Saying it would be a complicated, deep,
story
and
line.
Interesting storyline that would, you know.
About a conversation that needs to be had in America.
Yeah.
There, disclaimer over.
Anyway, so he's in prison, and, you know, like, Victor comes and visits him. I kind of missed some of that because I wasn't really watching really close. What happened between Adam and Victor?
They made up.
Oh, okay. Woo. So,
yeah.
Not Adam. Victor, because we had seen the judge before, right? Like, Victor was like, you need to pull some strings and get my son out of prison.
Right. Yeah, we had talked about that before, and the judge tried to recuse herself from being on his appeals case.
Yeah.
And Victor wouldn't let her recuse herself.
Uh-huh. And we didn't really know why in the beginning, right? Did we know? I can't remember.
Right.
I think when she visited Adam in the hospital, I don't know, she gave him a hard time, but he still went to prison.
Right, yeah, and he was still fine to go. I mean, I feel like Adam has kind of this two-way attitude about it, that yes, I deserve to be punished for my crime, but then again, I did save all those people in the fire, so I should be totally absolved of any wrongdoing I've ever done in my whole life because of that one act of kindness and bravery.
I kind of always feel like when he gets in these positions, though, where he's kind of cornered, he gets this, like, sad, lame puppy dog thing going on.
Yeah.
And
oh, absolutely.
It gets old. Like, just...
Yeah, he does kind of the martyr syndrome of, everyone is always mean to me my whole life.
But I'm secretly doing things to, like, make it happen anyway.
Right, yeah, so...
Okay. So, anyway, I don't think Adam was... I don't even know if Adam was still in the room, but I remember Nikki came in the hospital and was, like, giving the judge a hard time, and the judge was like, listen... I don't want to be here either. Here's the deal. I had an affair with Victor years ago, and
you never knew.
Yeah, right? Yeah. She kind of, like, threw it in Nikki's face. Nikki's like, you what? When? How? Where?
Yeah,
you know?
This happened.
As if...
Which makes a good point, because it's like, if you've been a long-time viewer, it's like, when did he have time to have this affair?
I guess so. But I also felt like, Victor has so many women in the past. Like,
right. What's
sure,
one more?
You know, good. That's fine. Whatever. I'm okay
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
Either way, the judge is like, you know, we had the affair. It's over. But he's using that. Like, he's going to expose it. And so that's his leverage.
And leverage over her husband as
yeah.
well. We saw
yeah.
her husband, the senator. Do we know, is he a state senator or a U.S. senator?
I would imagine a state senator, but I really
okay.
don't know.
Because he's acting like he's this New England state senator, and he, just his accent was so funny. At first I thought he was British.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was about.
I was like, wait, are you a Kennedy? I mean, what is going on with the way that you talk? That is not fitting your profile at all.
That would be funny. How much play do you think this judge has? Do you think the judge will be around for a while?
No.
Okay.
Well, unless she is the mother of Dr. Anderson.
Which you said.
And that's why Dr. Anderson hates all of the Newmans. That's a story we've already seen. I mean, that's Adam all over again, so...
Yeah, and I feel like the judge has very blonde hair, and Dr. Anderson has very red hair. Not
True.
To say that that's not possible, but usually they'll try to, like, line that up. I was trying to think of other people in the show who have red hair. Like, who could she be related to, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but,
has she... Phyllis yet? Does Phyllis have a long-lost sister?
Yeah, Avery, remember?
Avery. Yeah, but do they have another
no,
long cost?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so she's somebody, though.
She's somebody, that's for sure.
Yeah. But Christine finally managed to get her way, and Adam wound up in prison.
Yeah.
Wound up getting beaten up. And how much do we hate Christine right now? She has no redeeming qualities at all.
I know. I can't stand her.
Is she even married to Paul anymore? Because they have, like, number one loveless relationship to talk to their strangers.
I think they're both very busy with their careers, but, you know, they have moments together privately that we don't see. That's my
Thank
guess.
God.
Yeah. It's sad because she's such a fixture over the years, and her character just sucks right now.
Yeah. Well, from my perspective, her character has always sucked.
Yeah, she has not had a good run.
No.
At all.
Yeah, so.
I really liked it. I don't know, it was probably back in the 90s. I don't even remember. That she and Michael had a practice together.
Right, yeah.
And I always kind of liked that because it was so, I mean, how many people who've been sexually assaulted then choose to open a law practice with that person? You
right.
know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird combo. But I felt like they were defense attorneys at the time. And now she's just so pious and obnoxious, and I just
yeah.
can't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
So do something with her or cut her loose.
Right,
her
yeah,
on
one or the other. Because she's just dead weight.
Yeah,
and
totally.
She's Debbie Downer.
Yeah, all the time.
Yay.
Well, I mean, she did lose a child. Or she got
oh,
hit by a car.
I know, but still. I hated her before she lost the child.
Yeah, that's true. I think I took some sort of, like, sad pleasure when she got hit by the car by Nikki, so. And that was about a year ago, right? It seemed like it was
yeah,
around the holidays.
Just about, it was, you know, the slippery time.
Yeah, the icy days.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
So I know this isn't on our list, but
yeah.
Any thoughts on The Christmas Miracle?
I've been thinking about it a lot, and I really don't have an inkling. The only thing
yeah.
I can think of is, like, maybe Hillary gets her real memory back and she and Devon are, like, reunited. But I just don't see that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think that might be it, that she'll come to her senses and remember the feeling. That, you know, she'll remember being in love with him and be in love with him again. And
sure.
But that means that Neil is out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I mean, this storyline, if you would have told me back on Valentine's Day when the plane crashed that this
right.
is where it would have been, I never would have guessed. And so,
yeah.
I don't even want to make any judgments or any guesses because I have no
yeah.
clue.
Yeah, there's been no preamble, that's for sure.
But I guess, so let's talk about Hillary, because the last time we podcasted, she'd woken up, but... she couldn't really remember being married to Devon. She just thought she was still married to Neil. And
yeah, she had had some flashes of her and Devon doing it.
Oh, yeah.
But she wasn't accepting that.
She was more, like, horrified. Like,
yeah.
that horrible memory, like, push it down.
Right.
Whereas I feel like it should have been the other way around. Like, if she'd remembered
right.
having sex with Neil, it would have been like, oh, God, wipe it away.
Say that. Gross.
So then what? Because Dr. Neville.
Yeah.
Has been lurking around and they're trying to make sure that she's taking her medication.
Yeah.
Because there was a point at which I think he had approached her and said, you
yeah,
gotta
the
take
park.
These pills or you're gonna die or I don't know, something.
Mm-hmm.
And Neil was supposed to be watching her in a suite in the athletic club. But he got pulled away by Gwen,
mm-hmm.
and Gwen was shaking him down, you know, like,
yeah.
what the hell, are we together? Are we not together?
Yeah, yeah.
And meanwhile, Dr. Neville went into her suite when Neil was, like, I don't know, indisposed.
Mm-hmm.
And at first she was kind of weirded out, Hillary was, but then she, like, listened to him and offered...
Yeah, well, and he poured out his whole soul of, you know, I've been doing research and have been working because my mom was in a coma.
I
and so now we need
people.
To find out who his mom is.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, his mom is somebody.
Who's
so who's been in a coma?
Maybe Dr.
No,
Anderson is his
like,
daughter.
Like, you know, a while ago.
Yeah.
So,
hmm.
you know, that was definitely brought up for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But he found, even before they talked in the suite, he had met up with Gwen and said, here, take these pills.
Mm-hmm.
And she took them and wound up in the hospital because they made
yeah.
her pass out again.
Yeah.
And so that put Dylan and Paul back on the case to say, well, wait a minute, how can she have elevated levels of those drugs in her system when she's been out of the hospital and free for so long? So I did like when Paul specifically said to Dylan, you're not a detective.
Yeah.
You're not a police officer. What the hell are you doing? Why are you involved in this? And he's just like, because I want to get at the truth. And Paul's like, oh, okay. Good enough.
I was thinking Dylan is like me, where he probably went to like the Citizens Academy, you know,
right.
like, and thinks he's a full-fledged member of the Sheriff's Department or the FBI or whatever. Like, I wear my little badge. I like to pretend. I like to wear my t-shirt, you know. It's like Dylan.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Granted, I'm not out attempting to solve crimes.
Right. Yeah, see, you know limits.
Or do I? It sounds genius. Can I solve people's crimes?
Yeah, can you find out who D.B. Cooper is and whatever happened to him?
And I'm going to wear my FBI shirt when I do it.
All right.
Anyway.
So Dylan and Paul got a ping, or Kevin, or somebody, I don't know, I just don't care enough.
I don't care either.
Details, but they got a ping on the meds, and so they went and chased the meds, and Hillary was gone, but Dylan got to confront Neville.
Which, I have to say, was the best scene ever.
Oh, yeah.
Where Dr. Neville's like, he's got like a... I don't know, like a pestle. He's like making medicine at his desk like a cheap motel. And Dylan's coming down the hallway and he knocks on the door and the doctor's got his head like up against the door and Dylan kicks it in because he's so tough.
Because he's a tough guy.
And he kind of shakes him down but then makes like a deal where he says, okay, I'll only call Paul. I won't have, you know, police sirens blazing.
Yeah.
And then the second he turns his back, Dr. Neville, like, shoves a syringe
in his drugs neck. Him.
Dylan is so incompetent.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And, I don't know, but Paul came, found Dylan.
Yeah.
Dylan was fine.
Mm-hmm. And Neville was gone, and all trace of him was gone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But the drugs appear to be working because Hillary is remembering more and more.
Yeah, exactly.
About her life with Neil or her life with Devon, and you know, she went to Neil, and when Neil was actually babysitting her, decided, oh, I guess I really do want you back.
Did they do it, or did they just make out?
They didn't do it. They made out on bed a little bit, and then Neil said, oh, wait. We can't do this to Don. And Hillary says, yeah, we can.
Uh-huh.
We did it to you. Why can't I do you to him?
There's a lot of doing there.
Yeah.
But Hillary, it's almost like she's kind of back in that conniving, scheming mindset where she's like, how can I hang on to Neil?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who she really loves, and kind of undercutting Gwen. And she even catches Devon and says, I'm willing to do anything, you know. Oh, because Neil came clean to Devon.
Yeah, Neil told Devon the whole story, and Devon was rightfully...
Oh, I felt like Devon said everything that I've wanted to say for the last 6 months, you know. And it was just like, Devon kept going like, wait, and then you did this, and then you did that.
Right.
And Neil was like, but I was doing it, you know, to save Hillary. Yeah, for you. And Devon's like, no, you didn't. You're saving yourself. Like, over and over. Like, no, you're selfish. No, you're an idiot. And he calls up Paul, like, I have some information that you need to know, blah, 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 blah. And
but I can't tell you over the phone, which is just so dumb.
I think the story was so long. It's one of those things where it's like when somebody texts you and you're like, no, the story... Like, I gotta tell you in person, because this shit is too real. I don't know. But, then Hillary came in, and she was like, oh no, don't get Neil in trouble, I love Neil, and she catches Devon later in the elevator and says, like, I will do anything, anything, and Devon's like, dude, I don't want you like that. Like,
that's not what I want.
I'm not Neil. I'm not some sad, sadistic pig.
Right. Oh, that's the other one. Okay.
Yeah. But that being said, Devon doesn't doesn't give up the info to Paul.
Doesn't let it go. Yeah.
Yeah. So he kind of holds out.
Yeah. I don't know where this is going, and I'm not sure who I want to wind up with whom. I think I want them all to be miserable.
Oh, see, I really like Devon, even though he can be...
Devon's being a big puss, though.
He's just
get some self-respect. Face it, this woman is not for you.
She's the love of his life.
Well, but...
It's Young and the Restless, he'll have many loves of his life.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, just look around town a little bit and see who else can be the love of your life.
I think that's the problem. There's not enough available women out there, and he's probably worried.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, I want Neil to start drinking again or something. I want things to go bad for Neil.
Yeah, I do want things to go bad for Neil.
Maybe he could just have, like, a full repeat of last year where then he's drinking and Nikki tries to save him and he hits somebody else with his car. You know, like...
There you go, yeah.
It was fun for the first time around.
Something like that, yeah. I want him and Adam to be cellmates.
Oh my gosh. That would be terrible.
Yeah. So much self-pity.
So much. I don't know what they could even learn from each other.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Okay.
So I think that's it for them.
I guess so, yeah. So then let's talk about Kane and Lily and Joe.
Yeah. So does Kane have a broken arm in real life?
Yeah, I think I read that. I don't even have Twitter, but somehow I've read things about Twitter. That I think
secondhand Twitter is the best.
It's the worst. I feel like, and I could be so wrong right now, I think I read that he broke his arm doing a stunt on Young and the Restless, like, during that Halloween
okay.
week.
So during the... he's had that cast on for a while, so it's not like...
Oh, maybe.
Something new that he did. Like he didn't get hurt doing the scenes in saving everyone in the fire.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Maybe he just did it golfing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is for real life, though. But originally, Kane was the one that everybody was accusing of sort of, I don't know, kidnapping Hillary and...
Right, because they thought he'd taken the ransom money.
Yeah. But then Lily has come back and been like, you know what? I miss you. I love you. Let's get back together. Whatever.
Let's give it a try.
And Kane is like, oh no.
You didn't believe me. You were with Joe.
Yeah.
You don't deserve me anymore.
And we talked about how Joe keeps kind of swooping in at the right moment and preying on Lily when she's vulnerable. So he did it again. Mm-hmm. And they did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And... So, I don't understand where Colin came in. When Colin called Joe up in the athletic room. Did you see that? Oh, you did not
see that.
Okay, so, Lily and Joe. Lily's like, weepy, cry, oh, poor Kane. And then Joe comes in like, let me heal your wounds, baby. And so they go up to the athletic club. They go to his suite, Joe's suite.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's change of pace.
Yes, exactly. And it's clearly like in the daytime. They have like daytime sex.
Nice.
And then Colin calls Joe and says, I have a lucrative opportunity for you. You need to come down and talk about it. Joe's like, okay. It sounds a little sneaky, but okay, I will listen. And you see Kane in the background, like maybe Kane asked Colin to call him. I don't know, I might have missed it.
Yeah.
So while Joe is with Colin, having like vague business talk, Kane goes up to Joe's suite and just opens the door, and there's Lily, like, totally naked, you know. And she's like, what are you doing here? Like, you can't just walk in, and you need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And Kane says, you know, he's like, no, I'm being framed, and I'm certain Joe's doing it. And she keeps saying, you need to get the hell out of here. And finally, and she's... going through Joe's, like, drawers, and she's like, oh, yeah, this looks really suspicious. Like, look at these socks. Ooh, he's such a criminal.
Yeah.
And Kane says, what about the safe? You need to open the safe. And she initially refuses, and then she finally says, fine, I'm going to open the safe, and then you're going to go. And they open the safe, and they find, like, a black ski mask.
Like, and zip ties. And
he was like, what are you doing with that? And Kane says, you know, the ransom money guy, he had a ski mask. And I don't know, like, he had a couple other instances of where, like, a man with a ski mask was around. Maybe even, like, remember when Avery got raped? He had a ski mask. Yeah. I don't know. So.
Okay, that does look suspicious. But then again, it is Wisconsin in winter, so, sure, you know. Right?
And Lily initially is like, it's just a ski mask. But Kane's like, why the hell is it locked up in the safe?
Yeah, that's the part that's the clincher. It's like, why is it in the safe? And let's be honest, even if it is Wisconsin in winter, no one wears ski masks anymore.
Can we
because
bring...
they're too associated with creepy.
I want to bring the ski mask back.
No, I mean, I live in Alaska where it is legitimately cold and no one wears those things.
I'm going to start wearing a ski mask. And I'm going to cut FBI a hole out in the back for my ponytail.
No, you need to wear it with your FBI shirt.
When I'm out looking for D.B. Cooper.
Yes, exactly. See, I'm glad there's a plan.
Well, I wouldn't keep my ski mask in a safe. I'm just saying
well,
that.
Well, no. That's asking for trouble. And how does Lily know the combination to the safe? I mean, I know she owns the hotel, but...
Yeah, and Kane was like, you know the combo to every safe. I assumed, yeah, it was some sort of universal thing. So anyway, Kane takes the ski mask. I feel like he might have even pulled, like, a plastic bag out of his pocket and shoved the ski mask into it, you know? Like an evidence bag.
He's going to bring it to Paul and say, yes. Here's your proof. And Paul's going to say, well, you blew it because now it's inadmissible.
Yeah, I think he did bring it to Paul in the very end. I feel like he did, but they didn't really... I don't know. I don't remember what happened. But
okay.
Kane leaves. Joe comes back up, and he's all trying to be schmoopy with Lily, and she's freaking out because she just found a ski mask. She's like, either way, whether you're like the ransom guy or you just want to play some really kinky games, I think I'm going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, not into it, thanks, but no.
And Joe's kind of caught off guard because he can tell something's wrong. He's like, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where they left that as well. I don't know where they're going with this. I do like that Lily is finally, we had complained for the longest time that her only role was, like, at home, taking care of babies, and sort of being a really naggy wife.
Now she's just slutty.
Yeah. It's way more entertaining.
Slutty is much better than housewife.
And I feel like she's way less bossy than she used to be.
Well, because she's getting her needs met.
That's true. Okay.
And her hair has looked nice the last couple of days.
Oh, her hair looks quite fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah. So... it's all coming together for her.
She just needed to let loose a little bit.
That's right.
I don't know what it is about Joe. It's like he's really creepy, but I kind of like him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
He's got that... okay, so here's how bad it is up here and how bored I am. While I was grading papers, I had 50 Shades of Grey on in the background.
What?
And boy, does that movie suck. This is not an endorsement of it at all. But I could see Joe really using that as a textbook.
Oh, totally. Okay. Yeah. That looks, yeah, okay. That could totally be his
And name. now that 50 Shades is playing like every day on cable, one of the writers from CBS is going to see it and go, ooh, we should do something like that. That is super, you know, trendy and topical right now.
Yeah, I feel like...
even though it's over.
Yeah, that should have happened like a couple summers ago. Why didn't they go that way?
Yeah, actually? So now they're all the, you know, Midwest housewives are getting caught up and...
they're getting ski masks.
Because they didn't read the books because that's too much trouble, but they've seen the movie and, you know.
Because reading, I mean, okay, I have not seen the movie and I have not read the book, but I've heard that the reading level of that book is pretty low, so.
Yeah, that is what I have heard as well.
Anyway.
I have
not
read,
that you're reading
but...
it for the literature anyway.
Yeah. So, but I can see Joe giving off that kind of a vibe.
I changed my mind. He's creeping me out again. okay, let's talk about Stitch and Abby, because there's not a ton to talk about.
Yeah, not too much with them. Stitch is still in the hospital.
Yeah.
He's been in the hospital for so long.
I don't understand, because a lot of other people had injuries, too.
Yeah, Adam gets significantly beat up, and fire exposure and all that stuff, and he's in and out in a day.
Yeah.
And Stitch is still...
You know what? He's a doctor. He knows how to milk it.
I guess so. Good health insurance.
Yeah.
So he's still on the, well, fine, I'll marry Abby if I have to just to be an honorable guy, but I'd really much rather marry her mom.
And Ashley is pushing him towards Abby. She's like, no, I'm planning the wedding.
Yeah, the wedding of a century.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be doves coming out of doves.
I can't. That sounds terrible. I cannot wait for this failed wedding, because it's going to go up to the wedding day.
Yeah, well, because it's a New Year's Eve wedding, too.
Oh, that's right, it's New Year's Eve. Oh.
So, you know,
it's going to be
super tacky.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Yeah, so, man, they've really hit the holidays hard this year.
Like, yeah. Like,
Valentine's Day, Halloween, although I guess they didn't do Thanksgiving, but... New Year's Eve is going to be a big old day.
Yeah. I think Christmas is going to be really mournful.
Really?
Yeah, it'll be the, it would have been Christian's first Christmas. Let's all be sad.
It would have been Cassie's 32nd Christmas.
Right, yeah, exactly. Oh, what birthday would
have been Mrs. Chancellor's 112?
Which Hanukkah is it for her? You know, so...
Well,
spirit.
I feel like Ashley's looked really good.
Ashley has looked good. I've always been fond of her. There's just no comparison between her and Abby.
Oh, I think Abby's really pretty, you know, too, Abby's but in a really basic kind of way, I guess. Like,
this looks really done.
Yeah.
You know, that if you took away the stylist, there's, you know, she's got a pretty flat profile.
Yeah. She's flat inside
you
and
know,
out.
In that way that you, yeah, you can make anyone look beautiful with enough money.
Sure.
So.
I don't know where that one's going, but I hope that he leaves Abby and goes for Ashley.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want them to, you know, to get married, and then for New Year's Eve, for the, you know, the kiss at midnight.
Yeah.
Get caught kissing Ashley.
Oh, I think you just wrote the storyline right there.
Boom.
Yeah. I'm sure that's exactly what it is. And then he'll be like, no, it's like a son-in-law mother kiss.
Right, yeah, everyone kisses with tongue to their mother-in-law. Duh.
Anything else? Do we miss
I think
anything?
So. I think that covers it.
I just really feel like Dylan is in my running for most incompetent.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't
mean,
really have a most competent right now. Like, I have to think about it.
Well, I think Dr. Neville is in the running for most competent
no
because
way,
his drugs
fell asleep.
His drugs are working.
Yeah, but he fell asleep, like, and that's how the whole shitaster happened with, like, Hillary being lost for a while.
Well, yeah, okay, so he's second in running.
What kind of competent doctor is like, I'm just going to take a nap and let things run their way, like...
You know, the doctors need sleep, too.
Well, of course
Would
they
you
do.
Rather have a rested doctor or a tired doctor?
A rested doctor, but, I mean... When you're the only one on duty, you have a responsibility to stay awake.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
I mean, okay, firefighters do it. Police officers do it.
Teachers do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we're tired in the classroom, do you just go, I think I'm going to take a nap and just let the kids do their thing?
It's, you know, yeah. Just don't let the fire go out.
Yeah. No, he's not in my best or most competent.
Okay, well,
nope.
We'll keep thinking about it then.
Yeah. So last podcast we talked about the contest, and I think it was Raina from Los Angeles had won. But Raina, you still haven't gotten a hold of me, so send me a message on Facebook, on our podcast page, or anything. Or yeah, I guess that's the way to get a hold of us, because we have your fabulous prize sitting here on my kitchen counter, just waiting to be shipped out.
Yeah. And if you don't want it, let us know that too, and we'll give it to the second runner-up.
Want it?
Well, I'm just saying.
I made it by hand. I'm so proud of myself. Actually, you know, so yours is on the way to you in the mail, and I've been drinking coffee out of mine at work, and I forget sometimes like what, you know, what's on it, and other teachers are like, "What's on your mug?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." Like, friend and I, we do a podcast, and it's like, I get really weird looks from people. Like, so you're drinking coffee out of the mug of your own pot. Like, it's like a narcissistic thing.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I needed a travel mug, and
well, yeah,
it was cool.
You know, these are good travel mugs. Yeah. So, you know, nothing wrong with that. You know, it would be worse if your own picture was on it.
Should Photoshop our faces.
That's too much. That's going too far.
Oh, the next one. I'm Photoshopping our faces onto Victor and Nikki. Oh, it's terrible. now I'm going to Photoshop my face. Who's your... Okay, so your favorite character is Chloe?
Oh, yeah.
I'll Photoshop your face on Chloe, and I'll Photoshop my face onto Nick. I always said if I was a dude, I would want Nick's hair, so... anyway, okay. Find our podcast page, The Young and the Restless Recap, on Facebook, and we will see you next time.
Bye.